You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson and Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Corey!
Wow.
What's the deal, Greggy? How's everything going tonight? Today, not tonight, it's bright and early. 7 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast. How's everything going today? Fantasy executive is well rested. You know, getting ready for, I got a little bit of golf to do this afternoon, so not me going golfing. It's the program, the show.
Yes.
Three under par.
Are we excited for that today? What's the tournament? What's going on?
It's the Farmers Insurance Open out in La Jolla, California.
All right.
Nice place to be this time
of
year.
Who won last week? Do you have any idea?
Who won the tournament last week?
Yeah.
Why the hell did you ask me?
You're the host of the golf show.
I know who's going to win this week. Put it like that. There you go.
I guess that's half the battle.
Yeah.
Matt Modica, what's going on, my man?
It may be rainy outside, but it's sunny in my mind as we're about 3 weeks away from pitchers and catchers reporting.
And yet nobody has signed.
Yeah, no, nobody has signed. It's been a rather disappointing hot stove, as they call it. But I got to think in the next week or so, we're going to start seeing these guys. Teams are going to make these moves. Players are going to settle. I don't see guys waiting until, May and stuff like that.
I don't think they wait till May either. But it's kind of crazy.
No, it is. But I think it's a lot to do with the new world order of baseball. Also, next season's crop of free agents. That luxury tax. Teams want to get under it, get themselves situated for next year, and also teams don't want to give out these contracts. They've seen the Albert Pujols type contracts. I mean, you could look at what Max Scherzer got, and that you could justify because he's been so dominant these last three seasons for the Nationals. But at some point, that contract might not look good on the last couple of years. But overall, it should be a win-win for the Nationals.
Yeah, absolutely agree with that. You're just kind of waiting, waiting, and waiting for just stuff. And the majority of stuff is still to come. I'm reading stuff about Bartolo Colon this week, right? That's a thing here. And it's Bartolo Colon's the guy you read about in mid-March. Mets, bring him back for a minor league deal. Not he's going to be an ex-starting pitcher off the board.
Well, you got all these numbers guys now in the front office and the sabermetrics, and they're looking at, what is this guy worth annually? And they're also looking at what is he worth as he declines. So as front offices get smarter, it's no longer the old boys club, as you want to, maybe you want to put that there. So, but I think guys like Mookie, look, the Mets should be aggressive on Mookie. I've been saying he should have been signed months ago. And if his market is coming back, you got to step in and you got to pay for him.
Yeah, I agree with that with Mike Moustakas. I think a lot of teams can say that, though, not just the Mets, certainly, that he should have been signed a long time ago. And that.
Well, but a team needing to replace a David Wright. Right. It just makes sense.
It does make sense. And Corey, it's weird that, and I said, I kind of referenced this earlier, but it's weird that a dude like Austin Jackson goes off the board before Lorenzo Cain, before some of these major players that we're waiting on, and we haven't gotten to yet.
I don't get it, especially with a situation like
it's January 23rd.
Yeah, pitches and catches about to start. Excuse me. A lot of these dudes don't know where they're going to be playing at yet. We're seeing last night about Yu Darvish, you know what I'm saying? It's just you figure somebody would have jumped on something already.
Yeah, with Yu Darvish, the big rumor was that he's in active negotiations.
With the Brewers, right?
With the Brewers and with the Cubs. The Brewers made an offer. The Cubs are all right, we're in on this too. What do you make of this, Matt?
The Cubs would be a nice landing spot. The Brewers, if the Brewers can get a Darvish, they can really put themselves in a nice situation. Maybe it's not the greatest park, but he played in Texas. Yeah, so I mean, I like him going to either one of these teams if you're looking from a fantasy value.
Right.
Maybe Miller Park isn't the home you want him to land. I'd prefer an American League team like the Twins, like Target Field, and that, you know, just disaster that is called the AL Central outside of Cleveland. But, yeah, these guys are going to start signing. People are going to get paid now. Maybe it's not what they thought they were going to get paid. But a guy like Darvish, when it's all said and done, is going to get a nice annual value.
No, there's no doubt about it. But, you know, you think he probably... I don't know what he was going to get. But I think when that number comes out, it would probably be less than I thought he would get a couple of months ago. Now, I do want to say, Roto World pointed this out, that the Cubs had signed Chris Jimenez, who was Darvish's personal catcher with the Rangers. Certainly the Cubs are no stranger to using personal catchers. Could that be a sign of things to come? We'll see.
Well, I'd like to see him. I'd like to see him on the north side of Chicago. I mean, if you're a Cubs fan, you'd have to be ecstatic. I just don't know how many years are you going to have to give. That's the key question. I think Darvish is like 31 now. And, you know, 5 years is what I'm assuming he's going to want.
I agree.
So that's going to be what? And to take him into age 36. So, you know, you're probably going to do, like, if you're signing him, it may be something like what the Cubs did with a Ben Zobrist. You take the first couple of years, and then you know those last two, you know, you might be eating.
Right. They obviously don't regret the Zobrist signing. It helped them win a World Series. So everything else for the Cubs is kind of gravy right now. And the same kind of goes even for Jason Hayward, who really was never good. But, like, he basically made $120 million for a speech. Right? Like, that was all it was, Jason Hayward.
Luckily, the Cubs can afford to absorb Hayward's contract. And, you know, I would rather have Darvish than Arrieta. It's not even close to me. So there's been rumors about Arrieta possibly going back to Chicago. I really don't see that happening. I think they would, maybe if they miss out on Darvish, but I think they have the money. If they want Darvish, they can get him.
I totally agree with that. So those are your major baseball headlines from yesterday. Let's get into some of the football stuff. And this kind of broke later in the night where Peter King, who doesn't really do, you know, breaking any news, kind of pointed out, I believe it was on Twitter, that he said the Raiders are a team to watch for Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell's not going to be a free agent, is he?
It's a good chance I take Le'Veon Bell. Okay, here's the thing. Pittsburgh is going to franchise him again.
I agree.
He's not going to play.
You think he'll just say, you know, screw this?
He's going to say, screw it. I can see them franchising him and then trading him.
Okay.
Because he's not, I don't blame him. I wouldn't play under the tag either.
He did it once.
Yeah, he did it once. He's not going to do it. I think the tag this year would be $14 million.
Okay.
So I don't think, I think Pittsburgh franchises him, and I think Le'Veon Bell tells Le'Veon, if they franchise him, Le'Veon Bell is not going to play unless they trade him.
Do you think that Le'Veon Bell has played his last down as a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I think it's a very good chance he has.
Well, put the percentage at it. Give me the percentage.
I would put it at 55%. I would say over 50%.
Over 50% chance we've seen Le'Veon Bell's last down on Steelers.
Yeah, I think so. The Steelers are going to franchise him, and he's not going to play under the tag. So there's going to be a stare down, and training camp will come, and he's not going to go. He just won't show up, and I think he's going to force his hand to trade him.
Matt, I think it's a 50-50 shot here.
You're pretty close to Corey then.
Yeah, because, I mean, if Pittsburgh's going to play games with him, he's and I don't blame him. Like Corey says, this is the time he needs to get paid. This is that contract for him. You know, it's not for long league. And he deserves to get paid. He, in my opinion, is the best player in the game. So, and I agree that they're not just going to let him walk. They'll look to do something where they trade him. It's going to be interesting. Haley's gone. Ben, maybe this is his final season. I know they would love to keep that threesome together for at least one more year. But unless they're willing to pay Bell, which I'm not sure. The Steelers aren't a team that...
They don't,
you know,
pay people.
Yeah, they really don't.
Well, you see, hold on.
AFC
North. They gave Antonio Brown...
They paid A.B.
They never paid Mike Wallace?
Nope. But they were right about that.
Huh?
They were right about
How
that.
How are they right about that? Mike Wallace still had good years left in him.
Fine, nah, but he hasn't had years which he would have gotten paid for. Like what I'm trying to say is
they didn't
he wasn't worth
him.
The money. He wasn't
they
worth
didn't
the money.
Miss him.
They used that money to pay Antonio Brown.
Yeah, they
exactly.
had to make that move. And
well,
man,
that was the right call.
There's no Le'Veon Bell in that backfield.
No.
You see what I'm saying?
James Conner's not Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
I agree, obviously. They have to pay Le'Veon Bell. I think they know that, though.
Yeah, but they're going to try to franchise him. And listen, they're going to try to franchise him, and their excuse is going to be, you got that marijuana issue. That's going to be their excuse. And he caused that on himself.
But it's not just a marijuana issue. He's also had injury issues, too.
I don't
know. He has been, for sure.
I wouldn't. I mean, yeah, he's taking, taking some dirty shots.
At his career.
He's taking some dirty shots.
Absolutely.
It's Dave Johnson's missed a full season and stuff. And he,
we haven't seen him get paid yet either.
I know, but I'm just saying. I just see the Steelers, that this is a franchise. They paid Antonio Brown. They gave him some. They paid him before they had to, before this day came. So maybe they saved some money that way. Now with Bell, this is, you know, year two. He took the franchise last year. He's not taking it again. He's been adamant about that. So it's going to be interesting. I don't see Pittsburgh as that team that's going to go out and
not,
just, especially on a running back. They're going to say, you know what, we can possibly move on. But that would be, losing Haley, losing Le'Veon Bell would be, you know.
Listen, if he has to become a free agent. You know, they have to not franchise him for him to become a full free agent. Then I can see the Raiders making a move. Pittsburgh is not going to trade him to the Oakland Raiders. That is not going to happen. You can forget about that. If Pittsburgh trades him, it's going to be to an NFC team.
I agree. He's not going to get traded. They'll trade him to the Raiders, rather.
No, they're not going
to
trade him to the
Raiders.
They're
not going to trade him to the Raiders.
Mm-mm.
Unless, hold on, there's always a price, right? Like, $1 million man style, everybody has a price.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders, they don't care. They have $100 million to John Gruden.
Yeah.
They traded a boatload to get Carson Palmer years ago. Maybe they give Pittsburgh 2 first round picks.
I just can't see the Pittsburgh Steelers who feel like they can make another run even without Le'Veon Bell trading him in conference to their rival Oakland Raiders. Immaculate reception Oakland Raiders.
Yeah,
I don't see that.
I could see it. I agree they want to send him to the NFC West. I mean, to the NFC. But if they're going to trade him, and it's outside the division, and it's, say, to Oakland, that will, in a couple of years, be Las Vegas, it's not that same rivalry that they had.
That black and gray. That black and silver. It could happen. But I would see that. I would see that.
Look, if they're willing to pay an exuberant price, like Greg said, like they've done in the past.
Yep.
Then, you know, sometimes an offer is just too good.
Yeah.
We'll see.
At least it's out west.
It's not like he's playing them to Baltimore or Cincinnati or something.
Oh, you'll
like
see
that.
Them in the playoffs.
Will you see the Raiders in the playoffs? They're horrible this year.
They'll bounce right back. There's too much talent on that team. They'll bounce right back.
Speaking of talent on that team, you guys see that Derek Carr made the Pro Bowl?
Yeah, but everybody makes the Pro Bowl. Like, what's his name on the Bills, the quarterback, Tyrod Taylor? He made the Pro Bowl.
Right.
Like, he was the sixth quarterback.
Right.
Pro Bowl's a joke. It really is. I mean, we all know the Super Bowl teams aren't going to go, and then who's ever going to, you know, who's either injured or just tired from the season. So, you know, you wind up getting, like, that number six quarterback. In conference.
Was he even the
No, it's a name thing. It's, you know, that's what it is.
I thought it was crazy. Like, that dude, like, he was horrible this year.
There's no
They should have put somebody else in there.
Like, you couldn't tell me there's nobody else better?
They could have easily. Did Tyrod Taylor didn't make it, did he?
I don't think Tyrod Taylor made it.
You know
I think made it? I think Nathan Peterman made it. You mentioned, guys, that Todd Haley gone from Pittsburgh, and that could change things with the offense with Le'Veon Bell and what he winds up doing. Well, Todd Haley's, well, he's made his decision, and Todd Haley is now the offensive coordinator for the Cleveland Browns. Todd Haley and Hugh Jackson together.
Yeah, well, what's crazy?
Poor thing.
You're on a winless team. You got a miserable, you know, offensive coordinator that nobody likes. But look, the guy is good. The guy does. He does deliver for you.
He's excellent for fantasy.
Yeah, for fantasy purposes. So, I mean, we don't have to like him.
Exactly.
The players don't like him. But the players, I mean, you see how with how Ben improved, Ben's numbers went under Todd Haley. You know, there was a major increase in his game. So, who's their quarterback? That's my question. That's the ultimate question with Cleveland. Who is the quarterback? If they can get a veteran quarterback or somebody, you know, on the up and come. I don't think their defense was that bad. It was just the defense was on the field all the time.
Right.
Or in just horrible situations.
Right. I think that with Cleveland, I was reading about this earlier. Yeah, Todd Haley obviously pissed people off in Arizona, pissed people off in Kansas City, pissed people off in Pittsburgh. Now he goes to Cleveland. And part of the problem that people are saying, Corey, is that Todd Haley's going to do what Todd Haley wants, right? He's not going to mold anything to Deshaun Kaiser. He's not going to mold anything to the players he has. He's going to be Todd Haley.
Yeah, but he's not the head coach. the head coach may want to mold the system to Deshone Kizer. You feel what I'm saying?
Oh, and that's what Hugh Jackson's going to do.
Huh? It didn't work this year.
Look, they can't go back with Deshone Kizer.
I think they are.
Deshone Kizer. I mean, that would just be insanity, in my opinion. Look, if you have a quarterback, Haley system, they keep Josh Gordon, you know, and Antonio Brown with the right, you know, you give him a quarterback, Josh Gordon, I don't know.
If Josh Gordon's back there, because let's remember that Josh Gordon is a restricted free agent this year here.
No, that's, you know, if is a very good question. I'm just saying, it's going to be interesting to see how this team sets itself up. They have two of the top four picks.
Yep.
What they do here, and I think the offensive side of the ball is their main concern, in my opinion. You've got to be able to score points.
Definitely.
You've won one game in the last 2 years. In 32 contests, you've won one game.
And the head coach is the same.
Yeah.
And if he would have got fired, he would have been a commodity on the open market.
All people would, oh, yes.
I know this man.
Cincinnati would have fired Marvin Lewis, hired him.
I hope AJ McCarron isn't the opening day starting quarterback for Cleveland, because that would be an epic fail.
It's crazy. I got nothing. You know, it's kind of weird. So there you go. That's kind of the deal with Todd Haley. Kind of the deal with Cleveland, and we'll live to fight another day.
There you go, right there.
Yeah.
Todd Haley back in the NFL. So it's going to be some mad people. It's going to be some mad people in Cleveland because they're going to deal with that man. So the Le'Veon Bell thing is a situation to watch, though. Very interesting how that's going to play out.
Yeah, absolutely. Le'Veon Bell is a mystery. Ultimately, it's crazy both of you guys at 50%. That's what's crazy.
If Le'Veon Bell was drug-free, I would go in there. You'd want him to get paid as a top running back and a top receiver. He caught 80
passes
this year.
That's what he wants. That's what he wants. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to go live on YouTube, and we're going to discuss Le'Veon Bell. He played his last down in Pittsburgh, potentially. Has Blake Bortles played his last down in Jacksonville? We'll break that down when we come back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Welcome inside Studio 34. My name is Greg Sussman. To my right, it's the fantasy executive, Corey Parson. To my left, it is Wall Street Matt Modica. What's going on, gentlemen? How's it hanging?
I feel good this morning, you know what I'm saying? Getting ready for, you know, the downtime in the NFL. Got a week with no football. Pro Bowl's coming up, though. Pro Bowl and the Senior Bowl.
I'd rather watch the Senior Bowl.
Senior Bowl is a thing.
Has interest.
Yeah, no doubt. I agree with you, Matt. And Pro Bowl, Senior Bowl, just coming off the Shrine game. So we are winding down to our last football games of the year. So what do we have?
So before I do want to give a Senior Bowl note before I get into the Blake Bortles stuff I want to talk about. Did anyone else find it interesting that Denver requested that Baker Mayfield be on their team?
How'd they request that?
Their coaching staff is going.
I didn't know that the Broncos staff was there.
The Broncos staff is there. Mm-hmm. And because nobody wanted the Cleveland staff there again.
Yeah, I guess not.
And they requested that Baker Mayfield be on their team.
Oh, that's good. They want to work with him. But they're not. I don't think they're going to be in a position to get him on draft. They don't have to make a trade to go up and get him. But shout out to Baker Mayfield. You normally don't see big quarterback prospects like that go to the Senior Bowl. They just wait to the combine or to their pro day.
But yes, but when you have something to prove, mm-hmm. you go.
I don't think Baker Mayfield has anything to prove. I think the resume in college speaks for itself. I'm the high guy on Baker Mayfield.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
I think it's perception, and you want to erase that perception. It's a thing that's been in the NFL for years and years about height and stuff like that. mean, Drew Brees is not the tallest guy in the world.
Yeah, Russell Wilson, too.
Yeah, yeah, Russell Wilson. I like Mayfield a lot as well. Yeah. I'm rooting for him.
Mm-hmm.
Can he be that guy? I'm not sure. That's, you know, I want to see him succeed. I love his game.
Right.
I love his moxie. You know, I know some people have a problem with that. Yeah. I like it. I want you to think you're the best.
I want my quarterback to be like that.
You have to have that mentality. You know, so, and I'm kind of cool with this. I like the fact that he's going to, you know, he's going to this game. And he's going to say, you know what, you're going to see me again. And he kind of got robbed in that Rose Bowl because they just shut the playbook down.
Horrible job at Lincoln Riley there. Not giving Baker Mayfield any opportunity to do.
He'd be in NFL anything. Soon.
Lincoln Riley? Yeah. Baker Mayfield.
Lincoln Riley.
Why do you say that?
I'm just playing. You said he did a horrible job. So I'm like, NFL's, go get him.
Yeah. Okay. So we said before, Le'Veon Bell potentially has played his last down at Pittsburgh Steelers. 55% said Corey Parson. 50% said Matt Modica. So the same question goes out to both of you when it comes to Blake Bortles. Matt, I want to start with you because you've really been the one, more so, I'd say, than both myself and Corey at this table, that kind of thinks, listen, they need to move on. This is it. We're done. So I want, but before you kind of give your opinion, I want to just know the percentage. Percentage that we have seen Blake Bortles take his last snap with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Percentage that he's taking his last snap, I would say probably about 75%.
75%.
I think this team's looking to take that next step. They know they need the quarterback. Look, Bortles got him to the AFC Championship game. They had the lead. But it's kind of like even with Minnesota with Case Keenum. I was saying, they were like, well, if he goes to the Super Bowl. I didn't think Zimmer really wanted him as the quarterback going forward.
Right.
So I think that they're going to look, if a guy like Alex Smith is available, I think he's a much better asset to have on your team than a Blake Bortles. And he's shown this year with the deep pass.
75% says Matt Modica that Blake Bortles has taken his last snap. He has no guaranteed money left. There's a 50-year option. I'll pick that up. Come around, you know, March 1st-ish when free agency begins. Corey Parson, same question goes to you.
Yeah, I think it's probably in that percentile, too. But then it's going to be interesting to see how they built this team moving forward. Because if you don't bring Blake back, then what are you going to do with Allen Robinson? So, you know, are you going to be like, okay, are you going to abandon the passing game, much like they did this year, try to run it? And then now if you bring him back, you bring Robinson back, then you want to be, you know, obviously you see that you need a little bit more in the air to be able to compete. Then you got to sign Robinson, and you got to go get yourself a quarterback now, too. So I don't know what their cap situation is. It's going to be interesting to see how they handle it because, you know, a player like Allen Robinson is a player you need. You don't really need a big-time quarterback. We've seen that already from this team. You kind of need a guy that can drive the bus, rely on that defense, hand the ball off to Fournette, have a healthy backup for Fournette. Those are the key pieces. They're kind of doing it without a quarterback, so that I can see Bortles back because of that, but they do seem as if they want to move on. And some of the reports I heard yesterday was that they were looking to move on. Who's out there? Who can you get? Well, Alex Smith? You know what you're going to do with Alex Smith? You're going to replace him 2 or 3 years from now.
So here's the names I came up with, right? Mm-hmm. Alex Smith, the obvious one. Tyrod Taylor, another one. Case Keenum, Sam Bradford, Teddy Bridgewater. You can replace him with a Kirk Cousins if you want to go in that direction. Those are the guys that I have found that are...
Kirk Cousins is obviously the most appealing ones. If you bring Cousins in there, now you got to get Cousins and Allen Robinson. Do you have enough money for that?
I don't know. Well, see, I don't know. What does Allen Robinson want?
If you're Kirk Cousins, I have to think Minnesota and Jacksonville are the two most appealing. Minnesota, to me, is the most appealing because they have the two wide receivers and the tight end in place already.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if I want to win, those are the two places I have to be looking. If for some reason, cause I don't know, for some reason, I think Washington is going to botch this whole Kirk Cousins thing.
I mean, the only way they can botch it is if he decides not to sign with them. And that means more or less he just wants to get out of there. If he wants to get out of there and look for a better situation, is that a winning situation? Is that a certain coach or coordinator that he wants to be with? So you kind of got to take those.
See, it's a dollar amount.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking
he's
for.
He's going to get the money. Washington's going to offer him the most money.
No, I don't agree.
You don't think so?
No. If Washington was going to offer him the most money, I would have done it 2 years ago.
Washington's going to franchise him again and pay him $40 million
for this
year.
He'll accept it. Exactly. 100%.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying Washington can offer him the most money.
Yes. If they offer the franchise tag to him, he will accept it and make $40 million to be the quarterback. No problem. He'll happily do that.
He's going to get paid no matter what. So, I mean, are the Redskins the team on the rise? I don't think so.
I don't know either.
It can happen.
It can. I agree.
It can happen.
I agree.
They have to have a New Orleans Saints type draft this year. They have to be that team that just crushes the draft, gets that free agent piece they need as well.
I don't think Washington's as far away as you do.
I think so Giants either. Could be better than them next year. Giants got a good, look. The Giants. We were going into this year thinking the Giants were, you know, a favorite in the NFC.
Sure.
Everything went wrong.
Right.
You got a new regime.
Yep.
The defense is still good. They weren't healthy. They lost some key players. They got the number two pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. I think the Giants are not far off. The Cowboys can get some defensive help here. You got Zeke for a full year. That's two teams. The Eagles. They're all better than Washington.
I don't know that you
can. But the schedule is going to flip on the Eagles. And then you got the quarterback situation that's going to be coming up for the Eagles, and you look into the beginning of the season also. So you got to take that into consideration. You saw Carolina go first to worst. Washington, if they can get a running game, they can really be right back in it.
I agree. Their defense wasn't nearly as bad. They lost some key players. And one thing they have that the Giants don't have if they re-sign Kirk Cousins, the quarterback.
Well, for the Giants, you're hoping. Look, you're getting Schumer's the head coach.
Schumer, excuse me.
But look what he's done with backup quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Look, Nick Foles had his best year ever. I mean, he was the offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Case Keenum.
Best year ever.
So, I mean, you can take him. If you got to go Eli for a year and you groom the young quarterback.
Right.
You have a full season of Odell Beckham. You got Shepard. You got Ingram. If they could sign a Carlos Hyde, if they got a running game, this team, you know, part of the Giants' problem too is they haven't had a running game, haven't had a line.
Yeah, it's tough to pay a top quarterback, rookie quarterback, and then make a lot of pieces in free agency.
Yeah, but the rookie contract is
different now. Yeah,
it's not like it used to be.
Yeah, no, it's not going to kill you, but still, that's a franchise quarterback, which I don't think. Well, I don't know.
Look what the Vikings did last year. They were able to fix that line. Mm-hmm. That line was terrible.
So was the Giants.
That's what I'm saying.
So
that's why I'm using them as the example.
Uh-huh.
Their running game was terrible.
Right.
They were able to fix that as well. So if you can bring in a Carlos Hyde, you get a lineman, say, in the draft, via free agency, right there, your offense is so much better. And for a year, I don't like Eli, but I think Eli could do it for a year.
So the problem is, unlike the Vikings, You need five offensive linemen with the Giants. You need five. I'm not even just saying that as an angry fan. The Giants' best lineman is Justin Pugh. He's a free agent. The Giants' second best lineman is Weston Richburg, their center. He's a free agent. Eric Flowers is your left tackle. Is horrible.
He's
obviously
horrific.
Right. Your starting right tackle, Bobby Hart, they cut. He's cut before the last week of the season. They do not have a single starting offensive lineman currently on their roster. Not one.
Not under contract.
But what I'm trying to say is they're going to have to get these players.
Yeah.
But my point is, you look at the Rams,
right.
You look at the Vikings, mm-hmm. And you look at some of these teams this year coming into 2018, in 2017, coming into the season, had terrible offensive lines in 2016. Just horrific. And they were able, if you get one or two guys, and then the offensive line, what we've been able to see, is over the season, they gel. I mean, is it going to be the best offensive line in football? No, I'm not saying that. But if you get a better running back in there, you improve the line, you have playmakers on the outside.
I don't see them being better than Washington in 2018.
I definitely think that's going to happen.
To me, I don't think the Giants can improve that much to get to the Rams or the Vikings level.
Yeah.
There's too many pieces they need. In my opinion. And again, Washington has some of these pieces already.
Yeah.
So, you know, but going back to Jackson.
But who does Washington have on the offensive side? You got Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
You got Jamison Crowder.
Uh-huh.
Doxon, if you don't catch a touchdown, he's worthless.
Well, he's your boy.
He had 34 catches and like 78 targets.
Well, I'm just being honest. You pray for Jordan Reed, see what his situation is, but he should likely retire. But they do. They have a quarterback, and they started to run the football better. They got pieces on the O-line and D-line in the trenches that they can rely on. They got a system that's been in place for 3 or 4 years now, which makes it easier to adjust too. So because you're bringing back the same pieces, so you know you get that continuity to the team. That is something that the New York Giants are not going to have this year.
I don't know. I got to disagree with you guys here. Yeah. I think the Giants could. I'm not saying the Giants are going to be world beaters. I didn't think any team, as I said in the preseason, in the NFC East was going to win 10 games. Mm-hmm. But looking this year with the schedule, I'd probably say the same thing coming into 2018. But I don't think Washington is better than the Cowboys or the Giants. You know, there's going to be some off-season moves here. Then, like I said, the Giants get that running back. They get a Carlos Hyde and Isaiah Crowell. That will help the line too.
Sure, but do you need linemen?
I understand. We said the same thing. Everybody thought Minnesota was going to.
Minnesota signed 3 linemen.
The Giants are going to have to make look.
Absolutely,
you're going to cut guys. You
sure,
know, Eric Flowers can't come back.
I agree. You know? No, believe me, I agree.
Guys, you know, by addition from subtraction.
Yeah,
you have to hit on a couple linemen in the draft.
You absolutely do. Will they be able to do that? We're gonna have to see when it comes to the Giants. But the Jacksonville Jaguars, again, the story here, that's what we're kind of bringing up. If Blake Bortles will be the quarterback, he wants to be back, obviously, in Jacksonville because he's really
cool. He's scared he ain't going to be no place else.
pretty much.
Maybe you would take him.
But I do want to throw this at you, Matt, because I think Corey brings up a good point, right? Like, you bring in Alex Smith, you bring in Case Keenum, you bring in a guy like that.
You're going to go back and replace him?
You're going to try to replace him in 2 to 3 years anyway. Is that much an improvement on Blake Bortles where it makes any sense?
No, but say now in this draft, say whatever fourth round as a quarterback they like. They can take somebody that they can groom, see if that hits. I mean, you're going to replace Blake Bortles anyway. Not like you have a long-term deal with this. Like you want your future to be riding on him. And I think that this team got to this point. And you're looking at the Vikings and the Jaguars going into next season as two teams that have all the pieces in place. They're just missing the quarterback.
They are, and that's a fact. But rather than signing a Case Keenum or signing an Alex Smith or something like that, where you replace him in 2 years, to me it's like you might as well get another year of Blake where you're not paying him anything, and then you reset next year.
Yeah, that's what I would probably do. That's what I would do. I would make Allen Robinson the priority. I put the priority on the passing game, bring Allen Robinson back, threaten Blake Bortles. You know,
this is it.
This is it right here. You know,
this is it.
You've been to the AFC Championship game, so you know what's next. So, and if we're not there, it can't be your fault.
And the problem for Blake is the expectations are not what they used to be. It's not just, you know, win 10-7 games, right? Go 7-9 or go 8-8.
Still got to see what happens in the offseason. I would worry about that defense in the offseason.
Why do you say that?
Huh?
Why are you worried?
Off the field.
Like Dante Fowler?
It's the truth. It's not been offseason, but he hasn't had an issue.
Okay. I think that you have to look at Jacksonville, and the problem is the expectations are not just to win the division, not just to make the playoffs. The expectations of Jacksonville are to get to the Super Bowl next year.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's it.
I look. Blake Bortles, when we were breaking camp, was almost not the quarterback.
Sure, absolutely.
I don't know. If I have this team and I'm looking to upgrade, even if it's for a year or two, and I got to make that transition where I can draft somebody and groom them, that's the way I personally would want to go. With the roster that I have set here,
I just don't know that they're going to want to give up. I don't know what Alex Smith's going to cost them from Kansas City.
Yeah, no, look, that's all fair.
Yeah.
But you have to explore your options.
I agree.
I mean, I don't think it's Blake Bortles. Like I said, I didn't think Keenum was coming back to Minnesota before last weekend.
Do you think now?
No. Okay. I think they want to go Bridgewater. I think Bridgewater has that fifth-year option.
They declined it.
They declined it
because he's only guaranteed for health. They couldn't guarantee he'd be healthy.
Yeah.
So they declined it. He's a free agent. They're all free agents.
Look, I mean, if I'm Minnesota, these two teams are just too. You have to work something out where you have to get the quarterback. If I'm these two teams, I'm looking at it and I'm saying my roster is stacked. And look at the Jaguars. Okay, so they bring Allen Robinson back. Or whatever. I think they got some good young receivers that will have that second year as well. You got the running game. I mean, when you're this close, you have to upgrade and make sure you get back. Remember Dan Marino? What happened? He got there second year, and he thought he'd be there every year. He never got back.
Yeah, I know. I get it. Both the Vikings and the Jaguars in their conference championship games. And, you know, unfortunately, both very much unsettled at the quarterback position. We'll have to see what happens.
It's a quarterback league, right?
It's a quarterback league. We say it all the time. We'll take a break.
There's not enough of them.
That's for sure. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll chat with the king, Scott Angle, next on Roto Experts.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Of giving DFS a try, Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller field, single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NFL and NBA free rolls each and every week. They're free to enter, so sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. Of course, the NFL is over besides the Super Bowl, so it's NBA and NHL free rolls going forward. That is available right now at fantasyfactor.com. And with that, we bring the host of Fantasy Sports Today and, of course, co-host of the Fantasy News Desk every day at 3 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. He is the king, the FSWA Hall of Famer, Scott Angle. What's going on, Scott?
What's going on? It's an interesting time of year. The FSTA draft has started. They did it in a very interesting fashion, doing the first 8 rounds online and, you know, the next 10 in person and going back into a slow draft. But it's a signal that fantasy baseball is here.
Yeah, it's the first major experts draft of the year, Scotty?
Yeah, first major experts draft of the year. Soon they'll have League of Alternative Baseball Reality, not too far after that, Tout Wars. But this pretty much 14-team league. And, you know, this Stanton went at number 10, I believe, and was interesting to see. And then at the end of the round, they had a three-pitcher run. But it's kind of interesting because you hear different things about the industry, because they did the first 8 rounds online and then the next 10 in person, and then it went back to a slow draft.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Why do you think they did that?
I haven't been out to the last few conferences for the baseball drafts, only for the football.
Right.
But having seen them in the past, I imagine the length of time, they kind of wanted to cut it down. And I saw, you know, one top fantasy expert was kind of critical of it online, you know, saying that's why he chose not to, you know, go out. But I think if anything, maybe you should have the first 8 to 10 rounds in person and the rest online. But, you know, I'm just speculating here. I was not involved in the conversation, so when this was put together.
Well, I'm trying to get you involved in the conversation, because, Scotty, I agree with you. It's like, to me, you have the first 8, 10 rounds, you do that in person, and then you do the computer, because nobody really cares about it. Nobody cares about it. But when you get through to round 20 and up, or 15 and up, whatever, it's like, all right, every draft is a little bit different, but those first, you know, 10 rounds, those are what, at least, what I'm going to start looking at before I look at the last 10 rounds, you know? That's what I want to hear the experts' opinions on. That makes a lot more sense to me.
Yeah, I think you know, but what I'm saying is I don't know the reason for it, but,
yeah,
you know, commonality would dictate that, your sensibility would dictate that if you're listening to the draft on a broadcast, if you're watching it online,
right,
if you're watching it in person, you want to see the first eight rounds.
Right. So why would they not do that in person?
That I don't have an answer for.
Huh? Because I totally agree with you. You common sense, commonality, every which way. That's what you want to hear. That's what you want to see. I completely agree with that.
Yeah. Now, well, Nando's actually on the FSTA board, so when you run into him, it might be a good question for him.
Well, let's turn Corey's mic on. He
what happened? Why they do what? I think I might know the answer.
So Corey, Scott was just telling me that.
Good morning, Corey.
What up, Scotty?
For the first time ever, the FSTA did not broadcast the whole draft, all, you know, 30 rounds or whatever.
Yeah.
They did like the first. What, Scott, why don't you explain it? Because you did it well the first time.
I don't know what the broadcast portion is, but I know that that they did the first 8 rounds online and they did the next 10 in person last night, and then they went back to a slow online draft.
Yeah, because I know this for a fact, because this has been talked about for a couple years now.
Okay.
The draft broadcast is too long.
Okay.
So they started the draft online, had a portion for broadcast that was segmented to be a radio broadcast that
right.
they can play over and over because they need
sure.
more content
of
now
course.
This time of year. Then they go ahead and finish it up. So that's how they put the league together this time. So that's why they did it that way. That's from the desk of the program.
Right,
director.
Right. No, I understand. I understand what you're saying.
But what I don't like about this is
that makes a lot of sense.
I don't like about this, and I'm going to bring this up to somebody. This is really a SiriusXM draft. There's only SiriusXM people in that draft. Look at it.
It's egregious.
Let's see. There's only SiriusXM.
Good word for Matt Modica to start the
morning. Good morning, King.
There's only,
how are you, brother?
So there's only SiriusXM people in this draft, you're saying?
Yep.
See, I could see that as a bone of contention, because this draft is supposed to represent the entire industry.
Exactly.
So I understand that. I can't argue against that.
Are you upset that you're not in it? Is that what this is coming
No,
to?
I'm not upset. I wouldn't be the guy to do it, but why isn't Matt in it? Or why
right.
isn't I don't know.
Mike Florio.
Mike Florio. Why isn't nobody like that in it? You feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
Well, he probably wasn't going to send nobody.
In all honesty.
But last year, Cardano was in it. You know what I'm saying? Put him in it. You know
maybe,
what I mean?
Maybe that's why.
All right, Scotty.
So there you go. FSTA draft is upon us. We're going to get to that both a little bit later on our program, and certainly during the BFFs as well. We're through 18 rounds in that draft. Hopefully get even a little more done as we continue throughout the day. We have our Beat the BFFs draft going on. I'm on the clock right now. We are in round 28. I've never done this before. This is a freaking marathon.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, I enjoy the baseball slow drafts. Because you're not on the clock as quickly. It's kind of, to be honest with you, it's kind of earlier in the year. And, you know, I'm just starting my studying again.
Yeah.
Things aren't fresh in my mind. So, you know, I like the luxury of being able to slowly make a pick. And, you know, if I do one of these, then I'm ready for the next draft.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I've gotten to the point in this draft, like I said, we're in round 28, where Frank Stanfill is adding people to the queue, and I don't know who they are. I have no idea who these people are.
Well, this is what fantasy baseball is. And if you listen to my last Fantasy Hall of Fame Hour, G. McCaffrey, I candidly asked G. McCaffrey, do you think seasonal fantasy baseball is dying? You know,
okay.
A question that Corey originally posed that I
right.
posed to a lot of people. And he says, you know, it's not as popular as it used to be.
Yeah.
You know, DFS, he's more into DFS than he is into seasonal nowadays. And this is one of the guys who have been doing it for a long time. And this is why people play football over baseball. This is the issue. Even for the most intense fantasy baseball player, these drafts are long. If you get past 23 rounds, you're talking something very long. Now, that said, I was in a dynasty league the last 2 years, and it was a 30-round draft. And I liked it, though, because you had 10 minor league spots. But you know, you'd have to have a certain mindset to do it, and I don't think you can do more than one of those a year in a lot of cases.
Yeah, you know, I think that, like, it's, as you said, it's a marathon. To me, the best fantasy baseball drafts, I know Matt doesn't necessarily agree because he's in a billion of them, is you do it with your friends, you do it with the industry, but, like, to be able to do all these drafts and pay the same amount of attention, put the same amount into it, it's hard. It's really hard.
Look, I get a lot of invites for fantasy baseball drafts. I try not to keep it to more than 5 because you really, really have to keep on top of things. You know, so much on a day-to-day basis, so many players, et cetera, that I think if I go above 6, then you know, a few leagues begin to suffer.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair point, Scotty. I've also I've also been very clear that in any fantasy league, you know me, I want my daily changes. Because I also feel like when I can only make changes on a Sunday or set my lineup on a Monday, I'm not as into it. I lose interest.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't be in one or two or more of those daily leagues because, you know, life gets in the way at certain times, et cetera. Not I'm saying that I wouldn't play in them, but when I'm talking about, if I'm going to play in a league with daily moves, I probably wouldn't do more than one of them.
Yeah, I just, in order to like pique my interest, like when I get up in the morning, right, like I look at my fantasy basketball team, and I basically told Frankie Stanfill, I'm like, listen, like I appreciate you inviting me into your league, but if I can't do anything, if I can't make a change, that's going, I can't get as into a league. And I've said that from the beginning, and I know at the time commitment that's involved in that, I completely understand, and it's not reasonable to ask experts to do, you know, multiple leagues like that, but I'm just telling you what gets me going.
Yeah, you know, daily moves are fun in a way, and then you look at the lineups every night. And
yeah,
I would be honest with you that to say like from April to June you're all into it, but then when football starts coming, you know, then you're adding an additional workload to yourself.
But that's
one league with daily moves.
So I disagree. So for me, when football starts, right, where we get kicked into football gear, in, you know, mid July, and certainly August is full throttle for us. When that happens, if I'm in a daily baseball league, I have to look every day. If I'm in a weekly baseball league, I forget about it. And the day you have to set your lineup and put free agents in is Sunday. And the last thing I want to do during football season is that. So it's like, I want the daily changes so I can every day just wake up, make my changes, do my thing. I can't do it in a weekly league.
Yeah, I never forget about it. Like, I play baseball all the way through, and my Sunday night moves are like just part of what I do.
And the daily changes are part of what I do.
The 7:30 games are over, and you know, I'll spend an hour doing my moves. But I'll make so many notes during the week of who exactly I want to target,
yeah,
so that it doesn't take long.
Yeah.
So even if I'm not playing in a daily league, I'm looking at my leagues every day. So I guess ultimately I'm okay with it.
Yeah. I get it. I mean, listen, I understand it's preference. I completely understand I'm in the minority in this conversation. I'm just telling you how I feel, though.
No, you like daily moves better than weekly moves.
Yep.
I don't think it's necessarily the minority. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think it's just a preference.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking about King Scott Angle. He is the host of Fantasy Sports Today. You can hear that at 6 a.m. Eastern each and every weekday, Monday through Friday, here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. He also hosts the Fantasy News Desk at 3 p.m. Eastern. Hey, Scotty, during the NFC Championship game this past Sunday, I was thinking about you because I was like, Scott's got to get excited because I saw a little Daytona 500 commercial.
Yeah, that's February 18th. We'll have the Father and Son Fantasy NASCAR show premiering again soon. Danica Patrick announced that her final NASCAR race is going to be this year's Daytona 500. If you're playing on DraftKings, if she's good anywhere, it's on a restrict or play track. So, you know, looking forward to that soon. It's there's a lot going on. You know, baseball, basketball, and, you know, NASCAR coming up. And then we have, you know, for those who play fantasy golf, we got Tiger Woods return, doing another return this week. So, you know, there's lots going on, even though football's pretty much over. And with football, I was talking about on the news desk yesterday, it's just like, can we stop all this crying about the referees with the Patriots? It's ridiculous. It's like, look, I understand that, you know, there were some questionable calls, but there's always questionable calls. To me, the end, the bottom line is Jacksonville didn't do enough to win the game. You know, I see their fans on social media pointing out three specific plays, including a holding call. There's holding calls all the time that get missed. That Deion Lewis, that Miles Jarrett should have picked up the ball and ran for a touchdown. Well, you know what? If you engineer a scoring drive after that fumble, that's what you're supposed to do to win the game. I think, and I learned this a long time ago, if you're bitching about the referees, you probably had other reasons to lose the game.
Listen, I understand what you're saying, and for the most part, I agree with you. But they got screwed by the Miles Jack thing. They did. They absolutely got screwed by the Miles Jack thing.
But then they got the ball back, and they didn't even score with it.
Scott, the difference is they had a touchdown taken off the board, basically, for all intents and purposes, and it's much easier for the defense to score. You're up 27-10, the game's over. Blake Bortles, I get it, went 3-and-out. I agree with you. They had an opportunity to run some clock, go down and score. You're absolutely right. That was an inefficiency by the offense, and I completely agree with what you're saying. However, you know, they got screwed a little bit. That's all. That's all.
Well, look, they had other chances to win the
definitely,
game.
Definitely.
Multiple chances to win the game.
I agree with that.
It's like whenever a team wins a lot, you always hear people bitching about the referees or the umpires. I've heard this with the Steelers in the past, with the Yankees in the past, and it's just like, it's bull crap, you know? So there are questionable calls in every single NFL game. They just get magnified on this kind of stage, and the winning teams overcome this kind of thing.
I do want to ask you. You brought up the Daytona 500 again. Or I brought up the Daytona 500 rather. And you talked about it's Danica Patrick's last race as a driver. Why is this a thing? She's never won anything. Why do I care? This is Danica Patrick's last race. What does it matter? You know.
I used to say this about Danica Patrick too. It's just look. You know, she's the first full time. Cup driver,
right.
Who's a female, so she's a groundbreaker.
Yes, definitely.
You understand it. You understand it. But to me, you know, she's been no better than David Gilliland. You know, for comparisons.
And I don't even know who that guy is.
Yeah, he's like she broke up with Ricky Stenhouse. She wasn't any better than him. It's more history, you know, than anything else. And you know, being groundbreaking, you know, that I do respect. But she was never that good of a. That good of a driver. You know, there might be somebody coming on the heels of her, but she broke down a door. I respect that. You know, I do, but I think it's a big deal because who knows when we're going to see another female driver in the Cup Series again.
Sure. And, you know, it's a major deal, but like her going, oh, I'm announcing my retirement after my long and like fortuitous career. But like it wasn't either of those things.
I guess it depends on what perspective you look at it from, just like a pure fan perspective. No, she never did win, but you know, for her to break down doors like she did, break down barriers. You know, she's always going to be remembered for that.
Yeah, I agree with that. Also, Dale Earnhardt.
There probably will be better female racers than her
probably
in the future.
Probably so.
Yeah.
By the way, Dale Earnhardt Jr., of course, starts with NBC coming up for the Super Bowl. He'll be a feature reporter. He'll also do stuff with the Olympics. So Dale Earnhardt Jr. Making his way out after his NASCAR career. And he's not just dating Aaron Rodgers either, so that's cool.
Well, Jr. never won a championship either.
Oh, good point, Scotty. Scott, we'll do it again tomorrow, my friend.
Okay.
All right. When we come back, I'm rejoined by Matt and Corey. We break it down. A lot of NBA to talk about here in hour number two. Stick around. We'll be back after this.